You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
One.
Welcome to Marriage Takeover. I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock, Nim.
And you know we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to another month. We are excited to have you here.
Woo! Another month. Here we go.
We are so excited to have you here. Listen, y'all know how we do it here. We like to keep it real and raw. And today...
No chasers.
We have an amazing couple that we wanted to bring on.
Amazing.
Before we dive in, one of the things that we want to remind you of that this month, the 21st of March, is the National Black Marriage Day.
Yes.
And so we are going to be spotlighting.
So hug your boo on the 21st.
We are going to be celebrating Black marriages all around the world. So if you want to be spotlighted, make sure that you send us an email.
Yep.
It's going to be marriagetakeover@gmail.com. Send us an email. Send us a pic. Let us know your names. Let us know how long you've been married.
Yes.
And we are going to make sure that we are celebrating you on this month.
Yes.
On the 21st.
Yes.
So we are going to go ahead and get started.
Hey, without further ado, okay, you're there. Hey, we're going to welcome Isaac and Tasha Smith, Clinton. And Tasha Smith of Restoration Ministries. It's a couple's ministry that they have, and they have a wonderful story to tell.
Now, we've known this couple now for, oh my gosh, how many? About 20 years at least, right? At least 21. Because both of our sons just turned 21. So at least 21.
Yeah, I'm muted.
So at least 21 years. And
yeah.
We are so excited to have this couple on here. So let me give you all just a teaser, right? So this couple was married, divorced, and then remarried.
I say, hold on, married, divorced,
and remarried.
Whoa.
So if you are out there thinking about, because you know this COVID has had everybody and every marriage kind of on the rocks. You have not put boundaries in place, and different things have come up in your homes and in your marriages, and everybody is talking about divorce.
Everybody.
So before you get to that point, we wanted to bring a couple on so they could testify, tell you about their journey, tell you about their experience. So without further ado, welcome.
Hey, welcome.
Tasha Smith.
Welcome.
Can y'all hear us?
Me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how long you've been married, number one.
Oh, I guarantee Tasha's writing this down, so you might want to take your time. I guarantee Tasha's writing it down. What's the question? I got you. No problem.
I'm glad you know me that well.
I think I would say cumulatively, we have been married 24 years. 23. One of them. You'll get the right one.
Oh, don't get in trouble, dog. Don't get in trouble.
Lord
Jesus.
25 years.
Thank you.
I have to do my math.
1 + 1.
I work on computers. We work with zeros and ones. So 25 years, had a 20 years and 3 day career in the United States Marine Corps as a nice United States Marine. And she's been there with me the entire time. And other than that, I'm going to let her talk now. Mrs. Tasha Monique Smith.
Sweet. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey.
According to my husband, there's an app to calculate the cumulative amount of time that we've been married. Because, you know, he had to make sure he threw in those 17 months that we were not legal. So he found an app to actually add it up and subtract. I said, look at here. I'm still here. It's 25 years. How about that?
Right. So tell us about your journey. So a little bit kind of about our platform is we like to make sure that we're helping marriages, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about your journey, how long were you all married before you went through divorce?
How to get, you know, take us to ground zero, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Take us to ground zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
The short version of ground zero.
Hey. You know, some of them might have to convince.
I can be short term. I can be sort of short.
Okay.
But the one thing I will say that was very significant that we found out on our wedding day, May 25th, 96, was that my mom, who was previously an alcoholic, she was in rehab when we first moved here. She had to be taken to rehab just from dark times. And I was like 9 years old. Come to find out on our wedding day that his mother was my mother's nurse when they were in rehab.
Wow. Mind you,
it was 1984 when my mom went to rehab. I didn't meet him until 1988, but our parents were already intertwined.
Oh, wow.
My mother only stayed in rehab for 2 weeks because of his mom. She sat with her. She prayed with her because my mom was saved. She was just in a backsliding condition. So she prayed with her. She read with her. My mom came home 2 weeks later and has not touched a drink since. And that was
Praise God.
So I know for a fact we were destined.
Y'all found that out
on our wedding day. That was like what? On our wedding day.
Wow.
So regardless of, I just need to put this out here, regardless of what she says, I come from good loins. I just want to put that out there to make sure you know. I come from some good loins. Okay?
Yes, you do. I
first met this young lady. She was a cheerleader at a Well, I'll leave that alone. I'll just say she was a cheerleader. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Five, two, praise him.
Yes.
I understand. High five.
Okay. I'm just going to leave that there, sis. I hear you, but I'm going to leave that there. So we met on a church trip going to Magic Mountain in San Diego, or not Magic Mountain, where's it? Valencia, California.
It's a theme park.
Yeah, it's a theme park. I got invited by my godbrother. My godbrother bought his girlfriend. His girlfriend brought her cousin, which happened to be Tasha Smith. So we got on the bus to go. We paid our fare. And I'm walking towards the back of the bus. And I see her for a second. And my Jerry curl stuck up. It was just like, woof.
Hold on one second. You say your Jerry curl. So you don't have to start that story.
I have a picture to prove it.
Hey, oh, my gosh.
I have a picture.
Did she? No, mm-hmm. No pic. Oh my God.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Can you see that?
All of that.
Yeah.
Was a Jerry curl. About that high.
Yeah, and it had about 6 months of new growth, so it was only curly.
He said it's 6 months of new growth.
it was really thick. So, needless to say that, you know, I thought I was still cute and somewhat attractive. I come to find out that she was not attracted to me at all because it looked like I had just taken and put together balls of yarn and stuff like that on my head. And I was looking at her like, wow, she's so gorgeous. She was just so beautiful. But she couldn't give me the time of day. I couldn't share the air that we breathe in the same vehicle. I was just like, wow, she's not like that. But anyways, needless to say that we had an awesome day. An awesome time, and we went our separate ways when we got to the theme park, and we were on our way back, and somehow, some way, she ended up feeling ill. She had a little fever.
I did. All of a sudden.
Yeah, she was out of nowhere for whatever reason, and while she's sitting up there, you know, trying to fan herself and trying to get cool and trying to get comfortable, of course, me, because believe it or not, I was still suave back then, I took a little Coke bottle, which had been in the cooler with ice, so it was nice and cold. And I go to the back of the bus where she's sitting, and I sit next to her, and I start to put the Coke on her hand, and just wrapped around her neck and wrapped around her face. She was like, oh, you're so kind. I was like, yeah, in spite of my Jerry curl, I am still one of the nicest guys you will ever meet, because I am here in your time of need. All my other cousins were looking at you like, oh man, she's just fine. I was like, yeah. But I'm sitting next to her.
Let your soul glow.
Yeah, I was pretty pretty interesting. So, well, and then we went off from there. But yeah, you're gonna have to check the details from this.
That's about right. You did good, dear.
Oh, really?
I'm so sorry.
Mark that on the calendar. I did good today. Right now, just now.
You did good today. So, what led to you all kind of getting to that point? Because I know you were in ministry together. Because that was how we met you all. We were
because
just
of moving, ministry, right?
We were just moving to the air, moving from Alaska to the area, and it was recommended. That the pastor at the time that we were, that you all were kind of attending the church with, that we kind of check out their ministry to kind of see what they were doing, all those great things. So we went to the picnic, and that was kind of how we met you all. And then it was kind of from there, we just kind of kicked it in. So tell us about your journey from that time in ministry and what led up to you all getting to that breaking point.
When we met you, we were literally just coming off of living saved for real. We went, our first duty station was Hawaii. And in Hawaii, we met like Georgella, Anthony and Georgella Wright, Jeff and Tressie Bolden. We met the people who meant the most to our lives even today.
Wow.
And we didn't even know we were going to be set up that way. Once we left Hawaii, we came back here to San Diego and then ended up in Virginia. And come to find out, my husband is actually related to our pastor and first lady that we had when you guys came.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my husband's cousins. So we didn't even know that they were there. God set it up so amazingly because they were around the corner. They did daycare. They took the kids. It was amazing. And we started going.
Wow. Okay.
So like my first Sunday there, he had me speak when we were still in the hotel, like before you guys came or right when you guys came, we were in the hotel.
Yeah.
So that was our induction into that ministry, and we were really, really looking to do, you know, what God called us to do, but also being active military, being young, having small kids, learning each other in marriage, because we were barely
talk about that
by the time you guys met.
Now pause. Talk about that. Talk about learning each other in marriage.
Oh yeah, you got
like that. That's a whole different. That's a whole different ballgame. It's one thing to know each other when you're dating, but to know each other when you're married.
Oh man, you got to now, because I know that there's always three sides to every story. So I do want to hear. I want to hear your side and your side.
Well,
we're gonna say later.
I can honestly say that in his first, those initial years, it was really difficult because I was experienced, but I was still young in the Marine Corps. And it was really difficult trying to balance out Christ-like behavior and Christian values within the world's greatest killing organization, should I say, for lack of a better description. The Marines, they don't play. They don't care if you got a machine gun or a pen. Somehow, some way, you are a weapon with anything. You have the mind, period. So all that and having the Holy Ghost was it didn't mix real. It didn't mix well at all. So I had a really hard time trying to learn that balance as growing up. First 5 years, for first 10 years, it was pretty tumultuous. Should I say?
I think one of the things that going into marriage, we were together off and on for like 4 years before we even got married. When we got married, we were already parents. We had already had our oldest daughter. So we didn't start off being able to be married first. We started off being an instant family and running right into career because he was already in the military when we had Tiara. So learning each other, learning how to be married, learning how to be parents, and then at 21, 22 years old, still trying to figure out what you want to do in your own life.
Right.
With all of that compiled and then trying to go into ministry, that was not the way to do it. Not at all. I will say that prayer was not the leading force originally. When we became one, we were not praying together. We were not, you know, doing all those things together originally. going through the years now is the only time we're actually seeing that is the only way. That's the only way. And that's how we got to the point where we divorced, because God was no longer number one.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I will say that in those years when we met you and we were, I mean, thick as thieves, our kids, our sons was preaching at 2 years old. Like,
hey, don't tell them we were some thugs now. You can't do that.
They was our worship leaders. We just came behind them right after they were praising worship. That's all. They did what they knew. Both of them were leading praise and worship, and then all of us would just follow. It worked wonderful. But I honestly will say to you guys, before we even go on, I thank you for being our friends, even back then, because we were a hot, blumpkin mess. And most people didn't know it, but y'all did.
I think we were all a hot mess.
Hey, listen.
We were just happy to know we weren't the only one.
You know how it is, like in the military. Hey, we was battle buddies, man.
Right.
We always trying to figure it out.
Right.
So, hey, we thank y'all for being our friends. We thought we were going to run y'all off.
Yes. Me and Eric was the military spouses. We had lots to talk about. How do you do this? Why do we do this?
Where do we go from here?
Right. So you have that you came. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. So you had where you all came in and you were instant family.
Right.
Right. And then being young, having to figure out what you want to do in life. Clinton getting used to, being in the military, what that looks like, you all finding that mesh, getting to know each other married, then you add ministry to the pot.
My God.
Then you add ministry to the pot, right? So from there, how did you get to that point to where you were just like, I'm done?
Well, hold on. Ooh. Before you get to that, hold on. Wait a minute. Write that question down. Because I want to know real quick, before you go on to that one, is how were you able to balance any of it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
One thing that really helped me try to balance is, and it's in me, even though sometimes I don't believe it, it's in me to be a worshiper as a musician. So
yes.
I was a musician. I was always able to.
Stop. Don't say that it's in you to be a worshiper. Sir, you are a worshiper.
Boom.
Let's correct the script.
Delete that.
Right. You are a worshiper. And I say this, you are the only.
Only.
I know one other person. You are the only person I've ever known on the keyboard that will stop playing because you are experiencing God for yourself.
Yes.
I knew one drummer who did the same thing.
He throws sticks in there and go.
Because they were worshiping God when the presence of the Lord fell into place.
Right.
So you are a worshiper, sir. Not that it's in you, but you are a worshiper, sir.
Hey, this is my favorite. This has always been my favorite pose when I look at my brother Clinton. He'll be playing, the presence fall in. He will lean back and his hands will just gliding across the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hold on, wait a minute, Lord, give me one second. Mm-hmm. What is going on over here?
Yeah.
So deep into the push. I'm like, oh, no, I got to leave that alone. I'm like, I just got to think about it. But not, you are a worshiper because the atmosphere changes when you enter in. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to say that. Because I know everybody now asking, well, if you're that strong of a worshiper, how did you get to where you were?
Man, I tell you, that level of intimacy, it inherits a lot of trickery from the enemy. That looks so well. It looks so good. And it tastes good. It's like, okay, well, you worship so well. That's cool. But what if you do this here? What if you do this there? Can we get you here? Can we go there? You know, can you do what you do over here or with us? And before I knew it, I was going place to place, not just physically, but also in my emotions. Like, people would ask me and just take me to different places where I probably shouldn't have been because of my level of maturity.
Right.
But it caused me to be confused and lose a lot of focus.
Wow.
Who I was worshiping and who was I worshiping with. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of intertwined with my level of intimacy. I'm saying to myself and thinking to myself, Lord, this is what you gave me. This is what I want to do. I don't want this to be taken away. But at the same time, this is what they need over here. This is what they need over there. This ministry, I mean, I've gone from Okinawa, Japan, to Hawaii, to Guam, to different places. And it's throughout the time, it became less intimate and more of like an obligation. Right. You're anointed to be here. You bring the presence of God, so you gotta be here. Absolutely. The Lord spoke to me and said, "You're gonna do this." Really? I'm like, and being so young, I was just really, after a while, it became really confusing. And before I knew it, I turned around. I'm like, "Okay, Lord, where are you at?" We used to get it on pretty good. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got your talent, but your heart's far from me because you're not there anymore. You're there, but you're not there. So that is a lot of I'll just say, for lack of a better word, the hell came in.
Yeah.
Because I lost the focus of that reality, the focus of that intimacy with my God. It wasn't just me and him. It was just me and whoever I can go, wherever I can go and tag and take my family. I mean, right. It was deep to the point, and I'll just use this as an example. When we first got to Hawaii, I had, he wasn't a bishop at the time, but he was a pastor at the time. They had been praying for a musician for like 18 months or something like that. So when we first got to the island, somehow, I wouldn't say somehow, but he said the Lord had spoke to him and said, "You play," looked at me, and looked at my wife and said, "You sing." And he said, "Please come back." I brought my keyboard there one time. And I kid you not, for people who have been deprived of music in a sanctuary for months, they got music, they bucked. And I mean, they bucked
for
a couple of hours.
Yes.
I was tired. I was sore. But it was a blessing to them.
And then I played the drums.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, yeah, they were pretty desperate. But the thing that got that I really started to notice was when he talked to me and I came back again, he asked me to come back again. He was like, "Look, I'm going to sit you down." He invited us to dinner, in fact, with his family, his wife and family. And he said, "Look, let me just put it to you like this. I know you're on one side of the island. We're on the other side of the island." He said, if you could dedicate yourself to play here, he said, your fridge would never be empty. Mm-hmm. He said, if you need to get from there to here, I will supply the transportation for you. He said, you never have to worry about nothing. I was a young E4, just got to Hawaii with a pregnant wife and a one-year-old child.
Wow.
And he was like, he was smack dead serious. Yeah. And I was like, this was a little overwhelming. I said, I want to go and I want to praise and I want to worship freely. He said, but having this responsibility of going over there to, now I got to be here. I got to be here for rehearsal. I got to back up the pastor wherever he goes. All of this stuff. And I was like, it slowly began to just wedge in between my relationship with my God. It was many, many situations like that that just begin to wedge and wedge and to wedge. And before I knew it, I was far away from where I had, originally began.
Yeah. And that is so good that you say that. Oh, go ahead, Tasha.
I was just going to say, for myself, after experiencing so much hurt in church.
Hold on just a second. Before you go into that one, I wanted to focus on, because Eric and I, we talk about a lot, because what a lot of people don't understand is the roles. And we talk about how, of course, Christ is the head. And then, above every woman is man, and above every man, you have God. And when the husband is not in alignment, then things change. And so you gave a pivotal example that I think a lot of times we don't mention in ministry a lot, because you're saying, hey, listen, they're saying, I want to work. I want to do these things. I want to serve God. But what sometimes happens, and I'm not saying this happened in your case, but what sometimes happens is the leader of that ministry, because they have a need, sometimes they will prostitute the gift, and they don't understand the damage that it does to the family. And so one of the things that we've been talking about, and we even mentioned a couple of episodes ago, is in 1 Timothy, and how they were talking about, and so I just want to read this reference of scripture really quick. They were talking about in 1 Timothy, starting at 1 Timothy 3, and it was just talking about how when you are, some of the requirements that they were requiring for the apostles and the overseers, and how you couldn't be the drunkard. So in verse 3, it says, you must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. You must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. You must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. And a lot of times we get so lost in that when we go to ministry, because we think we're doing the right things. We think we're going to those, you know, places. And then we start to neglect our first ministry, which is our home.
Which is the house. Amen.
And that's what messed me up in the beginning. Because when, like I said, when we finally turned our lives over to the Lord 100%, I was being mentored by the evangelists and by the ministers and the elders in the church. And they were amazing, teaching, you know, how to pray, how to keep your family together and all that. However, the main thing that was being driven into me at the time was wearing braids, having my earrings, making sure that my dresses were, you know, certain lengths and all this other stuff. I've always done that. However, now you're telling me that I have to look a certain way that my husband is not going to go for.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What you say? You can say home in your bathroom. Don't wear your bathroom outside.
So it was that, to the point where I did not know which way to go, because I wanted to be in ministry, but I'm also trying to submit to this new husband. Not easy to submit to at all. And then being mom to babies, learning just how to be a person. But for me, it was what was ingrained in me to be a wife, to be a saved wife, that didn't do what was necessary for me to grow up as a wife, as the evangelist, as a minister, as God called me to be, the teacher, the intercessor, all of those things, and be mom. And nothing that they were helping me with helped that. What it did is it put me in a position where I was trying so hard to be godly that I was falling. Okay, I can't braid my hair no more. I can't do this. I got to be up here and I got to do all this. And this one is like, okay, go ahead. I'm going to look at everything else.
right. And well,
that's real.
That is so real.
So let's talk about that, because a lot of times what we try to do now again, is how your relationship is with God. But I know I struggle with that. And the ministry that we were a part of, it was just the organization. That was how they were. Like, there was, you know, no pants. It was the dresses and the long skirts. I was just like, wait a second. I'm used to wearing booty shorts with holes in them. Like, what's going on? And not only that, it's where you are used to, like, we have husbands, right, who are Roman, who I remember when Eric, and even then, I think at that time, he was wearing sunglasses. Whenever he wore sunglasses and I knew somebody cute was walking by, I'm trying to look underneath the sunglasses like, what you looking at?
He's trying to follow the sight.
Because here, again, it's that struggle where you are bound by law, because that's what they're teaching, and not by grace. And so you fall underneath something that's completely different, that not God even designed for you.
I'm just gonna say this real quick. We gotta follow the Lord on this one, because somebody's getting help right now. Because the question I wanted to ask is, what's more valuable, the home or the church building?
The home, number one.
Absolutely.
The home, right?
The home.
So,
but no, go ahead. I want to hear.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you
say. You know, I got to hear what I got to say.
I'm already knowing.
Hey, everybody, brace yourself now.
Mm-hmm. I believe it is the home. It really is the quality of the home, because you can't enter nobody else's building.
Right.
If you do, you're not going to benefit.
That's the truth.
Right.
That building.
And that's where I can honestly say we found ourselves spiritually over so many years trying to work and trying to do. Even though I knew the Lord called me to ministry and the Lord called my husband to ministry, we never heard the call to ministry together as a couple. Mm. And we never knew how to he do his, me do mine, but we're one. That doesn't make any sense. So every duty station, every church, we've had counseling. We've been under the pastor, first lady. You know, with the things that we've worked in church, whether it's been in music, armor bearing, altar working, usher, I've been through the whole gamut all my life. However, what I did not learn was how to be in ministry and be married at the same time.
Come on now.
Hey, we can't jump episodes here.
Married. That's such a key point. But I also wanted to highlight, because Tasha, you also sing. You are an amazing worshiper. So how is it?
Hold on, time out. I'm glad you brought that up.
Go ahead.
I just want to say this real quick.
Tag.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. I want to say this real quick. I blame YouTube for where I am. Because if y'all had not been up there doing praise and worship, because y'all had so good time, I would have never been on my face, and the Lord would not have to say the additional instructions that he had given me. So I just want to let you know, I blame you all. Please, continue.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that one.
How is it that Clinton,
everybody, he's Clinton, but that's my brother. We call him Isaac, so you're going to hear Isaac all the time.
Same person,
same brother.
So
those of you that listen on the podcast, we're not the same person.
So how is it that your husband, from each assignment that he's been able to go on in ministry, as the musician, you are seen as the same when it came to the worshiping?
Wow.
As a singer.
Wow.
The other part with that, though, was when I was recognized and I started singing a whole lot more. As well as writing my plays and doing my drama, which is what I love. I've been doing it all my life. He was not ready for the influx of what I was doing. It wasn't just me singing. But now it was 85 people asking me, can you sing with me? Can you come here? Can you come here? We went to the BET Gospel Celebration with Tone. We were doing so much as a married Christian saved couple with kids, but we were never married. We were a saved couple who had the talent, the calling, and the gifts, but we were never looked at as that's his wife, she's his husband, he's her husband. She has to still fall in line with what he would like.
Right.
So, wow. Everything that he wanted and didn't want was completely opposite of what I did or did not want. So every time we went to counseling, we were saying the same words, but we were feeling differently about it. So all the words that were being said and all the guidance and all that we were getting, it was great in words. Now, practical application was something totally different because we didn't have those tools.
Yeah.
We just knew we were supposed to. So you pray, you read, you sing, you fast, you pray, you read, you sing, you fast, you pray. And then it's 10 years. Of singing, fasting, praying, and pure hell in your house.
Wow. Come on now. Let's talk about it. Because
people will tell you, well, you got the Holy Ghost. You should know what you should be and shouldn't be doing in your marriage and all this. Hold up. First and foremost, if we're young and we're coming to the elders.
Come on now.
for direction.
Come
and
on.
All you can tell me is to go home, pray, read, fast, and study.
Wow.
But here's
if my tools worked, we probably wouldn't have got to that.
Wow! So, hey, if you just now joining us, you know you're a part of. You're listening to Marriage Takeover. We have Tasha and Clinton Smith with Restoration Ministries, a marriage ministry out of San Diego, California. And so they're here telling us their story. And so, man, y'all got into y'all just joined into the meat of everything. So, and so what was the question you was getting ready to ask, honey?
I forgot.
Oh, the one thing that I recognize.
Oh,
is
I remember.
That, oh, you remember that?
I remember.
All right, go ahead.
So no, I was going to say a lot of times I found that a lot of the elders, although they were elders in the church, they didn't have the answers. They didn't have the tools because it's so. If you think about cycles,
yeah.
If you think about, I don't even want to say generational curses.
No, you really can't.
So,
right.
So with that analogy, but if you think just about how leadership does what leadership has always done, right? And they just pass it down because that's all
exactly.
they know to do.
Exactly.
And so you continue the same cycle exactly. without breaking it because you don't have that relate, or you aren't, not even that you don't have that relationship, but because you aren't hearing from God and you aren't being obedient to God, then what happens is you continue to trickle that same thing down.
But,
and I think that was why we were always like the black sheep or the rebels, because we were like, wait a second.
It's got to be better than this.
God didn't tell us that. God didn't tell us that.
Right.
We got to revisit this.
Right. Right. Because, you know, I had, we was together at one ministry where I was told, well, how would you feel if I sit you down because I didn't show up on a Sunday? Because of what we already had planned to do. I was like,
well, it was because our son had a football game. And so for
not that Sunday. When we was with them, it was during that time.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, you the pastor, you do what you got to do.
Right.
But I mean, because at this point, I knew that something about if I cannot minister, how can I minister effectively if my house is in shambles?
Right.
And so when I understood that, it was, okay, I need to hold my house here and I need to put the church building here.
Now, this is not to say, let me just throw this caveat in. I don't want y'all leaders coming for us. Do you come? I'm telling
you. You better come right, Sam. That's all I'm saying. You better come right.
You better come correct. So what this is not saying is to be disrespectful to the authority of the house, but it's also to say that your marriage, your family is the first ministry, and your husband of that home is the king, priest, and prophet of that home, and that the wives have to come into alignment with what he is saying, what he is doing. So I want to just make sure that we put that out there to be clear.
Go ahead.
Now, this part right here is the part that started the downfall.
Yes.
I'm telling you, right there, that's where it all kind of went. Because first and foremost, we were always taught we are to take care of the house of the Lord. And if you're called to ministry, then you need to be here when the doors are open to minister to the people.
Here it is.
Now, while all that is fine and dandy and great and true, what am I going to help the people with if I'm getting up there to sing,
right.
Come on
and
now.
Minister, but there's tentacles coming out of my mouth because I want to kill my husband
Jesus.
Because of the ride we just had coming to church?
Yeah. Come on now, fussing and cussing right before you hit the door. Come on.
We have had situations that while we're interns, while we were in concert together, this one, because we had it out on our way to the concert, this one's sitting back there on the keyboard like this.
I repented.
What the heck are you doing? I'm standing there because I can hear all of this in my ear. but I'm looking at the people and we're trying to sing and I'm just trying to get a mess. Hot,
right.
Mess.
Oh, that was already in worship.
The focus was on trying to be in ministry, but not actually hearing God say, go to that ministry, sing with that ministry, play for that ministry. We were not asking for that direction because we were always told, you work while it's day. So wherever your hands find to do, you do it. Not,
ooh, as you say,
this
that
is how you build a relationship while you're doing it.
Yes.
That's the pivotal part that we didn't get in our early years.
Yeah, the other, I'm sorry, the other part that I wrote this down, and I got this from Carlton Pearson a long time ago. This basically sums it all up. The man out of his place makes the woman displaced, the children misplaced, and God ultimately replaced.
Replaced. Yeah. Yep. That's so true.
I've had that for years, and that explained basically our own downfall, because it was so much of ministry, so much of you got to do this because you're called, till I couldn't identify my wife. I was like, look, you so anointed, you in tongues, and we trying to make love. I know I'm good.
Come on now.
I'm just got to keep it real.
That's what I'm talking about.
That right here is about to set a household free.
Free by the set.
I'm not trying to hear that right now.
I'm telling you.
Oh, God, not now. Not
after. We pray first.
I think it's about a year ago. I was like, I'm confused for a minute. We get in the bed and she got my hand and she was moving my hand and she was moving my arm and she moved my face and I was like, oh, this is getting ready to be a joyous occasion. Well, she actually slid my hand, got down on her knees, and it was like, let's start praying. And I was like, what?
Wait a minute.
Thank you. When I say that I was really confused, that's real. I couldn't even pray. I was like, huh?
Oh my goodness. That's your ego. Your ego all jacked. You know what I'm saying?
Hey. What to do.
And then he had to go to work.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
Too much confusion. Too much confusion in the home. So I was like, okay, Lord, look, you really gonna have to speak, because we're at wit's end. I'm at my wit's end. I don't care what nobody's saying. I have no other heads to think about right now because they've all been
they've all had a release.
It wasn't even a release. It was a tease. I was like, okay, you heard me, but you didn't quite hear me. Okay.
I just need a prayer at that moment. I'm sorry. I just need a prayer.
Right.
What happened was
no.
But I honestly will say that I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Being in ministry and being married is beautiful.
When
you're in ministry together, but it's from the Lord.
Right.
You cannot put yourself in ministry in marriage and think that it's really going to do something. You got to be ready for it. You got to be ready for when you say you going to be in ministry as a married couple. If you ain't ready for them darts and them fiery trials and all that coming at you, don't do it.
Right.
Don't play with
and
it.
And that's going to be our next episode, marriage and ministry, because I think a lot of people, they don't understand the attacks that come. Because you number one, are attacked the moment that you join in marriage. Something takes place, something shifts spiritually. The enemy is so upset when you decide to actually step into that union, and it's like all hell breaks loose.
Right, exactly.
Different things that used to affect you when you were dating was never an issue. Now all of a sudden that you're in union together, it's like, wait a second, whoa, like where? How do we get here?
Because you got to live with it now.
Right.
And it is the dominance of unity. That is what's really being attacked. And so, for me, I look at it as though it's not just if you're in ministry. You can be in business. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can just try to be the best parents you can be. You know what I'm saying? Because It's the unity that draws the problem for everybody. You know what I'm saying? That does not have that same cohesiveness. You know, but when you put ministry on, because when you look at it, come on here, Jesus. Because when you look at it, your marriage itself is a ministry.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. Your marriage actually shows the structure of the kingdom of God,
right.
Which a lot of marriages do not understand.
Not only that, it also shows the love that Christ has for his people and how he's coming back for his bride.
Oh,
we are the example.
It is supposed to show
how
Christ loves his people.
Right.
How he's coming back for his bride.
And I will say this too, is now that there's so much, you know, mental health and counseling and all those things that's prevalent, and that's the field that I'm in. However, there's no way, me personally, that we can truly help people mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, if we are not even a nano percent not ready, not sure, or not in a relationship. It's not going to work. It is not going to work. It may look good for a minute. You might get all the responses, and you might get all the tags and all this other stuff. But when it comes down to it and everything's turned off and you got to put your head on your own pillow,
right?
Are you able to really say that you helped someone in this area because you're not even helped in this area?
Yeah, equally as important is, was God pleased?
Right.
Did you hear from him
definitively?
Like, look, I know I got a problem with that. I'd be like, Lord, did you say, Lord, no. A little bit louder. Turn up the EQ. I need it. I need clarity. Give me some highs. Give me a little bass. You know, because I need to know exactly what you're saying. I don't want to miss this. And that was the difference in our second marriage. That was a very, very distinct difference. Because I know I'm head heavy. I was like, look, if you don't speak, okay, you did say that, didn't you? You sure? I heard you say that clearly. You said soulmate. You didn't say wife. You didn't say girlfriend. You said soulmate. He said soulmate. I was like, oh. I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. I said, I'm not going to question you no more, but you got jokes. It's all good.
Oh, wow.
Sentiment, exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
So how did you get to that breaking point?
Yeah. Oh, if you don't listen, because we only got 13 minutes left. You already know. So as those of you that already know us, there's going to be a part two.
Right.
So we got to have them back. But 13 minutes, if you don't finish it, oh, God, I pray that room is made so we can get part two in there. But because that's what you heard but didn't quite believe it, that's why, you know, I received from when you said it. How or what? Now, we understand that you all had everything that you was trying to balance, and when you thought you had the balance, you had the balance in the wrong area. So, but what got you to that point to say, you know what, Slim?
I'm gonna be transparent because I was the one who filed and I'm the one who served him.
She gets her ways. I just put that up. That's she gets what she wants. Go ahead.
No, truthfully, it wasn't what I wanted. But I will only say this. For the time that we have, and it definitely is something I really want everyone to think about, you cannot have a successful marriage, career, life, anything, if you take God out of any of it.
Come on now.
It's not going to work at all. When
Amen.
We left San Diego for our last duty station in Florida, truthfully, I thought of Florida because I was like, oh, I'm going to find me some new white friends, get rich. We're going to find some businesses and we'll be able to come home. That was my thoughts, really, totally. And I was like, I've never been there, but I hear it's, you know, it's retirement town. That means they're rich. They got money. We can find businesses. Absolutely the complete opposite.
Wow.
So when we got stationed there, we had no idea we were going literally walking into an abyss because we were not ready for it. when we left our Latin church from here, moving, my husband was already gone to Okinawa. So he wasn't even here when we moved. I had to move us, the kids, the house, the cars, everything.
By myself.
But I was fine with that because I knew we were, you know, going to our next duty station, not knowing we were going to be set up for the greatest failure that we walked right into.
Wow.
I walked off the plane and went to the liquor store. Because by the time I got to Florida, I was done. I was so sick of trying to live right and having so many issues in that area with my husband. Right. So I said, okay, God, being that I guess I'm the more spiritual one and I'm not supposed to be, I'm done. You let him be the head then. I'm finished. I'm backing off, whatever. And when I tell you I did just that. After having so many issues in church and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm just talking about him and I, not church hurt from pastors and other people. Just him and I. Coming home from services, arguing, screaming, yelling, fighting over church, not ministry, church. So the bad taste that we got in our mouth. So when we left here and went to Florida, I was out. Deuces, I'm done with this. You want it, Lord?
How long was that? How long were y'all here at that point?
This was 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah, this was maybe 10, 14 years.
Because we were there 6 years.
Yeah, we were in Florida for 6 years. So it was about 17, 18 years. But when we left here, we left from a Holy Ghost fire, rain down, revival, shut in, I mean, teaching off the chain. After 10 years, when we left here, we had zero.
Literally zero.
So we went to Florida, and for 6 years, zero spirituality. So the ministry that we were visiting there, we only visited a couple of times because of the distance that it was at first. But then also because I am very big on the altar. I've been working the altar since I was 14. And I know and I've seen what changes can take place during that time. When someone's heart is wide open, ready to receive, you don't know what they're going through. And I went up for prayer because that's exactly where we were. There was so much other stuff going on in the background. You couldn't get a breakthrough. You heard all the other things going on. And I left there so frustrated because I know that God is the only way to help. But I wasn't strong enough to get to him on my own. I'm strong enough to get to him with my husband because he was the one that made me walk away, per se. But I didn't realize how much damage it was until a conversation him and I were having on the phone when we were in the midst of separation and divorce proceedings. And I said to him, I left God for you.
Whoa.
And I could have died in those 6 years that I left the Lord for you. And this is how we're going to end up. I mean, to feel that, to know that, to hear you say that to yourself, I was completely mortified when I said it because I didn't even realize it until I said it.
And hey, I want to dig into that.
We ain't got no time. Because, so I tell you what, though.
How do you get to that point, and why do you say that you love God for your husband? Because that's going to bless somebody.
Yes, I began even in Virginia. It started in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
When we were just learning how to be in ministry, I just knew that I had to submit to my husband. The wife submits to the husband. He loves the wife as Christ loved the church. And all this, you know, what the scripture says.
Oh, my goodness.
That this is what's going on. And that's not what was going on. And what I did is I ended up putting him up here.
Yes.
He was on such a high pedestal for me that when I didn't get covered, I didn't get security, I didn't get, you know, the encouragement, the spiritual portions of this. I wasn't getting any of that. I was literally left on my own devices spiritually, but being married and being one, completely confused. So everything we tried to do, even in counseling, wasn't working. Why? Because the person we needed to have counseling with was the Lord.
Right.
You never asked him.
Oh, wow.
He talked to the people.
Right. Wow. That is so key.
Oh, my people. God.
Woo, and hey. With pastors and first ladies and bishops.
And you needed the Holy Spirit. He's the one who teaches us all things.
And think about this too, though. The Holy Ghost is not an ungentleman. He's a gentleman. He's not going to beat and badger you. What he did for us in Florida, he was there as a silent partner. And I say that because
waiting for you to tag him in.
Come on now.
I couldn't hear nothing. So he was my silent partner because there were so many nights to this very day. I don't remember going to sleep or waking up.
Wow.
Wow.
Damn, this thing getting juicy.
So,
This thing is so juicy. Hey, listen, I know, again, we're with Tasha and Clinton Smith with Restoration Ministries out of San Diego, California. We do thank God for you all being with us. I'm going to tell y'all right now, there's going to be a part two.
There's
going to
be a part two.
Because we got to get into that.
and we may even invite them into the marriage and ministry, because I think that it's really important for everybody to understand what is going on and how ministry, if it's not done right, affects your marriage.
Right, because
that's the part right there.
We got to bring that part back. But we're going to continue the story on the divorce and them coming back together now and having things, I guess I'll say, in right order from what Clinton has said earlier.
So tune in, because we want to know how much it costs them to get divorced. Because we want to know how much it costs to get married and the process to that. So thank you so much for joining, for tuning in. Thank you so much. If you want to connect with us, make sure that you go to marriagetakeover@gmail.com. If you want to connect with Clinton and Tasha Smith, you can connect with them. Tasha, Clinton, tell them how they can get in contact with you.
My wife got the email address and everything set up already. You guys should have it. If not,
Just tell them.
Hey, Tasha, tell us, please.
If you would definitely like to contact us, whether by Facebook or simply by email, my email is T, like Tasha, Q for Queen, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, 74@gmail.com. Our ministry is Restoration Ministries. The website is ready to go. But now, since my mama Tamika said I have to launch, we will be. But you can definitely reach us by email.
For the other gentlemen,
we are pushing their ministry forward,
yes, please push, because even though it's failing me even as I'm listening, so
absolutely,
I got a lot more to do. I have a lot more learning to do, and this is definitely the first step.
We are all
have a lot of learning.
And here you're talking about I ain't got time.
I know.
I got two minutes. But because I'm gonna tell you, you're never gonna stop learning. It's gonna be a continual learning. It's just that you have to remain open to receive what God is teaching you, and you have to be able to hear what God is saying from the voices that He uses.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I just realized we didn't pray when we opened up for the people, so y'all please forgive us. Yeah. Don't hold us.
Listen, please, y'all don't.
We're going to pray on the way out. Hey, Tasha, go ahead and pray us out real quick. Yes, sir. Father God, in Jesus' name, first God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for life on top of the ground. God, we thank you that we are still able to help others with your guidance, with your control, oh God, with you showing us exactly where to go and what to do and what to say, oh God. We are nothing without you, oh God. Father, we ask that every person who hears, who sees, who understands, who is looking for understanding and clarity regarding marriage and the family, and marriage and ministry, and marriage and just being a person, God, we ask that you enlighten us so that we may enlighten others, oh God. Father, we ask that this never return unto you void, oh God, that we don't do anything that is not like you in ministry, oh God. And once, if we do, that we will walk the right way, oh God, and correct you and ask for repentance, oh God, and keep going, oh God, and not stop. God, we thank you for our hosts, oh God. We thank you for our brother and our sister, Eric and Tamika, and their family, oh God, for they have been a blessing to us for so long. And to all the people, oh God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And ask, oh God, that you just be with us in the next segment. In Jesus' name, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for joining. If you want to be a guest on the show, you want to submit a writing, make sure you reach out to us at marriagetakeover@gmail.com.
Amen.
It's your girl, Tamika Thompson.
It's your boy, E-Rock-Nim.
Marriage Takeover, signing out.
Mahalo.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.